Amen. Let's take our Bible and turn to Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8. So good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to have those that are visiting with us. Thank you so much for being in the house of the Lord this morning. Always good to have visitors. Amen. What a blessing that is. We just appreciate you being here. Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8. We're going to go to preach a little bit different this morning. We're going to go to several different passages of Scripture. Not just going to stay one place. So if you put your finger in John chapter number 3, and we'll read a verse from there also. Are you glad you're saved?
Amen.
I'm glad I'm able to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And I'd rather be here than in the hospital.
Amen.
And so what a, and I'd rather be here than anywhere that I know. Oh, now, you know, we was here last Sunday, of course, for Easter, but the Sunday before that was gone, and then I wasn't here Wednesday night, and then I wasn't here this past Wednesday night, and I just love being in the house of the Lord with you folks, amen? Of course, we was in church, we went to where Deborah's mom went Wednesday night, and then I appreciate you praying for me on Tuesday night. Tuesday, we went to a fellowship, Aaron and I, on Tuesday while we was up there in that area, about an hour and a half, Brother Bobby Leonard has an annual fellowship, been going on for many, many years. Well-attended fellowship. That's probably 50, 60 preachers there. And on that night, there's probably around 400 something, over 450 people there that night in the service. And I really appreciate you praying for me. And the Lord helped us to preach, and I really appreciate. And I called Deborah. I said, you call and let them know I need them to pray. Amen. I believe in the prayers of God's people. And if anybody can pray for their pastor or be a church member, amen. You ought to love your pastor enough at least want to pray for him. Amen. You ought to, you know, and I know some of you prayed I wouldn't come back, but God don't answer every prayer. I'm just kidding. As far as I know, nobody prayed that. I'm beginning to wonder. Oh, many people say, no, I'm just kidding. John chapter number 3 and Mark chapter number 8. If I can't have some fun, there's something wrong. I got to have a little bit of fun. You might well enjoy this life. There could be a lot of things that aren't going to be enjoyable. And so while you can, you might as well enjoy it. Amen. And laugh while you can, because weeping will come. It'll have its moments and its days, and it's part of our life too. Mark chapter number 8, verse number 36. Mark chapter number 8, verse number 36. Let's go back to verse number 34. The Bible says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said to them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Verse number 36. What shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, God, for anointing. God, I pray for my touch from another world. God, I pray for you to help me to stand, Father, where I cannot stand alone. God, I need you. I thank you for these other men that's filled the pulpit while I was gone. God, I thank you, Father, for their faithfulness and, Father, to preach your word. I thank you for your people that is gathered here this morning. They haven't gathered to hear from me. They've gathered to hear from you, Lord. And God, I'm just your instrument, just a vessel. God, if you'll just take this vessel, and God, if you'll just take your word and your scriptures, and if you'll pour out the word of God to these thy people, I pray, God, you'll do that this morning. God, I pray if anyone lost, you'll save that soul. God, I pray you'll challenge us this morning to have a burden for the lost, to have a burden to see people get birthed in the family of God. In Jesus' loving name we pray, and all God's people said,
amen.
What shall profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? When we come to the Word of God, I mean, the Word of God is a resource. There's so many things that the Word of God teaches us. You come to John chapter number 3, and well, we get to learn about eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. We learn so much in the Word of God. We learn about God's love towards us. We learn about the knowledge of the Word, of wealth of knowledge is in the Word of God. And there's so many things that we can glean from God's Word. We realize that there's a life to live here upon this earth, and then there's a life hereafter. We learn that through the Word of God. We learn that we're eternal souls. And weighed in the balances this morning, the eternal souls, men and women, boys and girls, that they'll never die. They're going to live for eternity in some place, either a place called heaven or a place called hell. And so the Bible teaches us that. Our Bible still does teach that, right?
Amen.
And I know society and in our day and time, it's not popular preaching, but there is, and we preached not too long ago on hell. I was in a fellowship meeting, and a preacher got up, and he said, "I wonder when the last time you've ever preached on hell." Well, I just preached about a week or two weeks before that on hell, so I was really happy. Amen. But you don't hear many sermons about that, and how true that is. But I don't know how long it's been here at the church since I just took the text and preached about hell. But there's the destiny that people's going to go to. And the Word of God teaches us so many precious things. It shows us so many. We see love stories in the Word of God. I love reading Ruth. Amen. Boaz and Ruth. And they fall in love. And what a blessing that is. And we see all kinds of different things. Then we see the great love and forgiveness when you go to Hosea and Gomer. And we realize all kinds of things that we see in the Word of God. We see brave people in the Word of God. I mean, we see people that trusted in the Word of God. When you think about David as just a little boy and standing before that giant, you know why he was standing there? Because he was so mighty. No, he was standing there so skilled with a sling. No, he stood there probably fearing and trembling because he was trusting God. The battle's not mine, it is the Lord's. Amen. We see the consistency of people as they walk with God. We see Daniel. He purposed in his heart they would not sin against God. And I love reading these stories, don't you? I love reading the Word of God and just letting it speak to us. And we see Daniel, and we see Daniel in the lion's den. And I mean, we see, the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, and we see a mighty God. This Bible teaches us about a mighty God that we serve. A God that's mighty in love. A God that's mighty in provision. A God that's mighty to protect. There's so many things we can say about this Word of God. We see the mighty hand of God as He leads the people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. He takes Moses and he begins to lead those children out. I mean, he parts the waters. And they walk over on dry ground. Hey, that's the same God you serve.
Yes, right.
That's the same God. And we see all these wonderful, exciting things about the Word of God. It just thrills you. I'd love to preach on any of those topics this morning. I'd love to preach on all those things, but that's not where my text is at this morning. The Bible is full of exciting truths, and it's full of things that thrills our souls and causes us to rejoice in our Savior. This morning, I want to preach on this thought, sad sayings of the Bible. Sad sayings of the Bible. Sad things that the Bible says. Will you take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter number 1, verse number 28? Romans 1, verse number 28. Here's in the book of Romans, he's trying to, in chapter number 1, chapter 2, he's trying to show that we're all, and also chapter number 3, he's showing that we're all guilty before God. Jew or Gentile, all mankind, all humanity, all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he lists a distinct people here, and he lists, and he talks about those that we would call those that God gave them over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate sinner. Here's some sad sayings of the Bible. The Bible says in Romans 1, verse 28, "And even as they did not like..." Excuse me this morning, my voice is just going crazy. Chapter 1, verse 28, I guess the devil don't want me to preach on it. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Well, I could say this was abandoned in sin. God said they're abandoned in sin. But I say to you this morning, I'm going to be serious this morning in preaching. These are some sad sayings of the Bible. Oh, I'd love to talk about the sight and things and the love stories and the times that God's arms were revealed and showed His might. But there's another side to the Word of God also, and it teaches us about those that are not saved. And it talks about reprobate sinners, those that have chose not to acknowledge God in their life. Those that have chose, the Bible says they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and God gave them up. Now, you could think of a certain group of people or whatever you want to, but I'm telling you what, you don't just have to be a sodomite to be a reprobate.
Amen.
And so we realize that people that this, I mean, if I could say it this way, young people, you better not play with sin too much, because you can just start to like it too much. And you can become reprobate. You can decide and not only just for young people, but for older folks too, for middle-aged people. We realize if we don't watch it, wait, you just better not flirt and play with sin too long. We might find out that God would just turn you over to a reprobate mind. Amen. You play and flirt with this world so long and its toys, you may find that God says, let them have their sin. Let them have their lifestyle. Let them have let them live the way they want to live. Let them do the things that they want to do. Oh, this morning it's a serious thing. I mean, there's some sad sayings that God would give them over to a reprobate mind. I'm talking about reprobate sinners. Hey, it's a true statement. Sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you want to stay. Hey, we better not play with this thing called sin. Amen. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved. The chains of sin are light to the... If we could put it this way, one man put it this way, the chains of sin are light to be felt until they are too heavy to be broken. And how true that is. It seems like we just begin to dabble in sin and begin to play with sin. But boy, can man take sin, fire into his bosom and not be burned? I'm telling you, sin will scar you, and sin will bond you, and sin will cause you, my friend, to get away from God or not even come to God. It is a serious thing about sin. Not only does sin have consequences, but also each time we sin, we reinforce a pattern that becomes a habit in our life. It becomes harder and harder to break when you and I sin. This morning, I feel like I'm preaching to a lot of saved people, and I trust you're saved this morning. But even a saved person, if you don't watch it, you can sin. Yes, now, you won't be a reprobate mind, I understand that, but yet you can still sin. We play with sin too much in our day, I really believe that. But here we see this sinner, and how sad words that God would turn somebody over. That God would not deal with them. That God would just let them go. The path in which they have chosen. Some is sitting in our midst this morning. You're thankful for some parents that tried to put some roadblocks in your life. You was headed down some roads that was the wrong way to go, and somebody or some parent or some authority or someone put some roadblocks in the way, and you're sure thankful for those. There's somebody, no doubt, sitting here that some person that was a little bit older than you and was authority in your life that set you down and gave you some advice about living, and you're so thankful that they did. I'm thankful for some people that set me down, some people that taught me the Word of God, some people that instructed me in things of the Lord, and they kept me from some pitfalls that I could have fell in if it hadn't been if I hadn't listened to them. This morning, God's saying this, no restraint. I'm back and taking my hands off. I'm turning them over. I'll not deal with them. I'll not woo them. Now, I know this sounds different than what we normally preach about this grace and loving and kind God, but there's a time when God's going to stop dealing with you. There's a time when God, if you want to go and play in your sin and live in your sin and live that lifestyle, live the thing, not just a lifestyle, but live the things and do the things in this world, God could turn you over. I'm talking about sad sayings that God would just release somebody. Let's say some young people are sitting there and you say, well, I can't wait to get out underneath the power of home, mom and dad. I can't just wait to get out on my own. Boy, I'm going to live life and I'm going to have fun. And then bills are going to come into the factory. Yeah. then responsibility is going to be a big R in your life. It's a big reality. Yeah. You know, the car you drove, a lot of the gas that was put in it, mom and daddy probably put it in. They even probably kept the insurance up a little bit in it. They even checked the tires and checked the oil and done some things. And then when you get out, all that's not being done anymore. Amen. It was the funniest time we had in our banquet. We had our February when Aaron and them was being in the newlywed game, and they've just been married. Haven't been married what, a month or something? When did they get married? Huh? January. So they hadn't been married long, you know. A question was asked. I can't remember exactly how the question, but it was about bills. What bill do you fuss the most over? Or what bill, you know, is, you know, has, we wouldn't fuss, but have good conversations about, you know, discussions, you know. Talking from different rooms about, you know. But, you know, and it was so funny. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You couldn't write this. Aaron said, bills. We fussed about bills. What bills? Well, he knows what bills are now. Amen. What I can try to say is, can you imagine, just like a person gets out on their own and begin to experience the things of this world, the realities of this world, but think about God releasing somebody and letting them have this world. What should it profit a man if he gained the whole world? Let him just have this world. Sad words. I'll tell you what's really sad about it, and please don't turn me off here, but what's really sad about it is, Brother Hub, it could be my son or my daughter. It could be your son or your daughter. It could be your grandchild that God takes his hands off of.
God help us.
That God, and I personally believe if God's taking his hands off, where's his mercy for that person? What he's done, he says, you've decided to live and not even want to acknowledge that there is a God. And so I'm taking my hands off of your life. You're becoming you're a reprobate sinner. Tell you what, this is sad words in the Bible. What's even sadder about it is we said in our church and our fine clothes and everything, we think, well, this is never going to happen to nobody we know. But it has. It has. I know people that I feel like that God may have just said, now I can't say for sure, I'm not God, I don't know. But it's a scary thing for God just to turn somebody over. Gave them over. Take your Bibles and go to Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8. I'm telling you, this thing's not going nothing like I thought it would. What shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? Remember, there was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus and said, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said this. He didn't mean it because he said, sell all you got and give your goods to the poor. And the Bible says he went away sad because he was very rich. What shall profit a man if he gained the whole world? Here's the statement, it's a sad, lose his soul. There's some priceless things in the world. There's some priceless things. I believe one of the most priceless things that you and I, God has gave us, is children. Who can put a price on a child? Well, just talk to me sometime. I might sell you one. Now, who can? Man, really? I know, unfortunately, our day and time, children, different things happen to them, and parents are terrible and different things like that. But a child. God would give us flesh of our flesh. God would allow us to raise a child. He would give us a gift of a child. There's some priceless things. I think there's been priceless moments in your life that you couldn't, you couldn't pay money for some of the things. I tell you what, when we buried my mother, and the sweet Spirit of God just moved in that service, and joy that passes all understanding, Sister Carver, flooded my soul. Sister Gail, peace and contentment. And Brother Mike, knowing that I was going to see her in the morning. Amen. The blessed hope becoming so real. Amen. Brother Nix, it's priceless. Priceless. I mean, that's better than seeing a football game or seeing a basketball game or having somebody to do something for you. It's just priceless. There's some things that are priceless in life. And what should it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose the most priceless gift that you and I have? That is the gift of our eternal soul. Can you imagine a millionaire in hell? All the money we would think about. I walked in and sat down in the seat and they had the TV on. And it was on this show, something about you win the lottery and they build a house or something. They buy a house once a week. And this couple that was there, just an older couple. And we are against the lottery. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We're against gambling.
Yeah.
Well, four of you are. Hallelujah. Anyway, but they had won. And I'd like to see them. And of course, I preached a message on it. I surveyed 10 of people that won the lottery. Out of that 10, several of them had died. A couple of people had killed them. And different things. But this couple had won, they'd won $180 million. What about going to hell with $180 million in the pocket? When I said $180 million, some of y'all thought, oh my goodness, what a life. That's what y'all thought. That's what I thought. What a life. $180 million. And I don't know how much they got to keep of that, of course, but if they just kept $90 million of it. You know. Lose some, you win some. You thought the same thing. But can you imagine being in hell? We would think that would solve all our problems. What a life that we, we can't imagine. But can you imagine opening your eyes up in hell? I'm telling you, being saved by the marvelous grace of God is greater than being a winner of the lottery of $180 million.
Amen.
What shall profit a man if he gain the whole world? Here's the sad sayings of the Bible. And lose his soul. Let me give you another one. Let's go to Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter 18. Verse number 9, you remember the story. They spake this parable to a certain which trusted in himself that they were righteous. They was righteous, but they had a problem to despise others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. He just really got the love of God in his heart. I mean, you can just see it's just overflowing. It's coming out. He said, I fast twice in a week. Well, I missed that one. Okay. I give tithes of all that I possess. Maybe my Lord just get the tithing envelopes out. Let's see. Sound like a pretty good guy, don't he? I mean, he's fasting twice a week. He's seeking God. He's tithing of all his possessions. And then the Bible says, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Verse number 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Oh, we know which man it was, the Pharisee. He went down justified because, hey, he's fasting. I mean, he's tithing. He's living the righteous life. No, that ain't what it says. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased. He that humbled himself will be exalted. So now I know which one God was talking about. The one that humbled himself was what? The publican. He said, what's the sad saying here? Okay, look at verse number 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I'm telling you, there's some sad sayings in the Bible. This is so sad. This morning, people got up, cleaned up just like you did, went to established religious service, bowed their heads, went through some rituals, went through some different things. And you know the only person they talked to? Was themselves. Sad sayings of the Bible. Reprobate sinners. Rich sinners, the young Moab has written. Righteous, religious sinners. To me, this is one of the saddest things. These sinners. We could go to Matthew chapter number 7, could we not? Lord, Lord, haven't we cast out devils in thy name? Haven't we done many mighty works in thy name? And he's going to say to them, I never knew you. Sad sayings in the Bible. To be religious, but to be lost. To be going through rituals. One of the saddest things we see when we go to the foreign fields is the people that stooped in tradition and in their religion. But can I tell you, it's just not in the dark jungles of Africa. It's just not over in Belize and Honduras and down in Mexico. But it's right here in North Georgia. There's people walking in the churches and they're just going through the rituals this morning. You know why some wouldn't come to church this morning? Because that's just what we do. We're Christians. We just go to church. We've heard all the messages and we know all the words. But down deep inside of us, there's no Jesus that lives. We're just religious and lost. Religious and lost. Wouldn't it be so sad, Brother Scott? And Brother Scott, I believe you're saved. I'm just using you as an example. Wouldn't it be awful to get to heaven and hear him say, I never knew you?
That'd be terrible.
Brother Derek, I hope you never have to go through this. But I remember Deborah's mom was just up there with her mom. And I remember when her mom, Mrs. Ryder, got Alzheimer's. And Mrs. Carrick, finally it came to that day when she did not know her. And what's And Deborah and I have talked about this. You know, she tried to tell her who she is and everything. But she was just, in one way, she's just wasting her breath. She wasn't remembering no more. And she tried to get her to remember things. You remember this? I believe Alzheimer's is one of the worst deaths you can die, that you lose them twice. I can't imagine what it would be if my dad walked up and didn't know me. I can't imagine that, Brother Mary. Can you imagine? I can't imagine. But in some sitting in this building, you've experienced that. You've had a loved one. And they don't even know you anymore. Don't even know who you are. How that breaks our hearts. But can you imagine standing before an almighty God? What a sad saying. I never knew you. But you don't understand. He's telling this Pharisees. Boy, I tell you, Pharisees, they'd look really good in an independent Baptist church sometime. They wear all the right stuff, say all the right things, have all the right length of hair, have everything down, except for one thing. I'm always skeptical if somebody's got a really critical spirit. You see how this guy prayed, don't you? I'm glad I'm not like they are. Can I just get real here for a minute? So I was raised up, born in 65, didn't know what was going on to the 70s, but I've read back in history a little bit and seen the history of our Baptist churches, especially our independent Baptist church. And about that 60s and 70s, God done a great move and work in an independent Baptist church. And then when we got into the 70s, 80s, everybody was trying to reproduce what God done for people back then. And so we started making all kinds of standards and all kinds of things that you had to be a Christian. And we started being the Holy Ghost and trying to make everybody be in this form instead of letting God form people. And God make, I still believe in righteous living. I still believe in real life doing right. Amen. But I believe God ought to put it in your heart, not man. And what we've done is we've done a lot of, if I can put it this way, we've stamped out a lot of Christians. Amen. I'm not saying people didn't get saved back then, but I'll say this. We did not see the growth of our churches in the 80s and in the 90s and now in the 2000s. We didn't see the growth we had back then when God done a work and God changed people and God made people anew. And see, that's why here at the church, we don't never have a young person come down. And so we deal with this young person. I was dealing with Amy for a second. And I said, Amy, you come down to get saved? We don't say that. We ain't going to tell her what she come down to do. When we deal with her, we'll say, what did you come down to pray about? Yeah. And then she said, I want to get saved. Then we tell her what to do to get saved. And I believe we need to get a little bit more simple about it. Just tell God you're a sinner and ask God to save you. Yeah. That's what people need to do, is tell God they're a sinner and ask God to save them. Amen. If they're ready to get saved, that will save them.
Yeah. Amen.
But I know sometimes we have to deal with people and everything. But you know one other thing I'm not going to tell Amy, a third thing I'm not going to do? I'm not going to say, now, Amy, now you're saved now.
Yeah.
You've prayed this prayer and you're saved now.
Oh, no.
I said, based upon the word of God and your faith in God, God said, if you'll do this, God will save you.
Yeah.
But she's the only one that knows she's saved.
That's right.
And I believe we've told a lot of kids they're saved. And they're depending on what we said about their salvation.
Yeah.
And we've made them twice children for hell. Because they're going to look at God and say, well, I prayed what that man told me to pray.
Yeah.
If you do, it's not in the words. It's when you came to God, when you decided to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I don't want to make this confusing. I'm not trying to confuse nobody. But there's going to be a multitude of people that's going to get to heaven. He's going to hear these words. I never, I'm going to stand before God, going to hear these words. I never knew you. Sad sayings in the Bible. Go to John chapter number 3, and I'm done. Verse number 18. We go back to verse 17. It says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be what? Saved. That's why Jesus came, to seek and to save the lost.
Yeah.
But, look at verse number 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. What about the rejected sinner? Look at John chapter number 5. Again, don't normally preach like this, but I'm trying to be obedient, sensitive. John chapter 5, verse number 39. Take your time and get there if you can, if you have a Bible. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are which testify of me. Verse number 40. And you will not come to me that you might have life. He didn't say that you can't come. He said you will not come. My last point. Sad sayings in the Word of God to reprobate sinners. Sad sayings to those that are rich sinners and those that are righteous and religious sinners. Sad sayings to rejected sinners. Not rejected. He didn't reject you.
No.
You rejected him. He came to his own, but his own received him not. But the obedience received him. Them gave him power to become the sons of God. See, it's up to you, sir, ma'am, it's up to you. You'll not get to heaven and say, well, I'd have got saved and hadn't been for Philadelphia Baptist Church. They didn't preach it right. I'd got saved and hadn't been for that wife or that husband. Or wouldn't have been for the home I was raised in. And hadn't been for my dad or hadn't been my... No, the Holy Spirit of God has convicted you and you are a sinner. And showed you that you're lost and you need to be saved. And if you walk out of this building lost, you rejected God. And the sad words to the rejected sinner is condemned. Condemned. I believe the Bible teaches us capital punishment. I believe that. And you can fall wherever you want to fall at, we're still going to go to heaven again. But I believe it teaches capital punishment. Matter of fact, I believe if we would do that more, then maybe there wouldn't be as many people trying to do stuff to get in jail. Amen?
Amen.
I believe that would do that. But I can understand those that feels like it's not right for the state to take somebody else's life. I understand where they're coming from. And I cannot imagine, I hope I never have to, and I hope no one in the building has had to, sit in a jury, in a courtroom and see their loved one there being tried and the judge have to say these words, condemned to death. I can't imagine a mama hearing that about her son. I can't imagine a dad hearing that about his daughter. Can you? Really, I can't imagine. I can't imagine how it feels. I cannot walk in that footsteps. I cannot even to know that my son or my daughter is fixing to leave this room and then within an amount of time, they're going to take them to an electric chair. Push a button to kill them. Condemned. You know, this morning could be sitting in this room somebody the judge has already said condemnation, condemned. Why? Because you're a rejecter of Christ. Condemned. What does the Bible say? Condemn what? Already. They're not going to be a judgment day and say, okay, let's weigh out these works here. Okay? Let's weigh them out. Brother Bo, help me out here for just a second. Just put your Bible down there and just hold your hands up. Okay? Well, Brother Bo, you came to church. You was nice to your family. Boy, you just got a lot of... But on this side over here, Brother Bo, you've done some bad things. But, Brother Bo, you loved the preacher. And I know he was a pain to love. And you loved him. You made it in because you loved your pastor. Ain't going to be that way. So you have a free will this morning. Either trust Jesus as your personal Savior or walk out of here lost. You have a free will to believe this Bible, to be the literal words of our Lord, to be infallible. It teaches us how to get to heaven. Nor the name given in heaven whereby men must be saved. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in the heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to believe all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Or you're not. You're going to believe whether Jesus can save you or not. This Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Sad words in the Bible. No greater words of love and compassion for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But I'm talking about two verses from that. 17, one, just one verse in between it. Comes the most saddest words you could hear. Condemned. 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 And I believe this morning, if you walk out of here lost, and you meet your Maker, and you don't get saved, you know what you'll hear all through hell? Condemned. You can hear this old pestilent preacher preaching. Condemned. The best way I could picture it to you today is like a person that's lost out in the woods. No hope of ever coming back without somebody comes and rescues them. Without somebody. And Jesus Christ has came. He wants to rescue them. And they have to accept being rescued. Sad story, but it's told as being true. A lady had plunged her vehicle off into a river. The father of the rains, everything, the water was rushing in. She climbed out of her vehicle and got on top of her car, and the water was quickly coming to the top of her car. There was somebody that had a rope, and they throwed that rope, and it landed at her feet. And of course, the water swiftly flipped it by. He said, ma'am, all you got to do is reach and grab the rope. He throwed it again, and sure enough, the water brought it right by her mind. And she would not reach down and grab the rope. The rope that could brought her to safety, the rope that could have saved her life, was right at her feet. But she was too scared. Everything going on around her. She was just couldn't think. I mean, we think of it, couldn't think straight. And Sister Jimmy Lou, the water came on up, and the rushing water wiped swift her off. And they found her later drowned. I'm telling you, we're trying to throw out a rope, a lifeline. That's what we're doing on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. That's what we're doing. We're witnessing, giving out a tract, trying to throw out a rope. But if you reject it, you're condemned. We're standing, our heads are bowed. Brother Mike's singing. Father, God, help us to have a burden for those that are lost around us. God, this Bible teaches us some sad things that will be said to people. God, you're a God of love and a God of compassion, a God that cares, and a God that saves. But you also is a God of justice, a God of judgment, and a God that will judge. I thank you, God, as a little boy, I gave my heart to you. Now, God, help me to be a light and a testimony to those around me. Help me to be a witness. Help me to be a light. Help me to share your word in deed and in word. I pray. God, help me to give out more tracts. Help me to have a desire to see people get saved. Help me to be a witness. Help all those that's gathered in the altar. Help them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for hearing our prayer. Thank you for the sweet spirit that's convicted hearts this morning. I pray for that one that's rejected. May you help us. May you help us this morning. In Jesus' name.